We are so glad you're here to celebrate with us. Today is a special day because it's Christmas Sunday for us. And we've been going through a series called Generosity Gospel. And we've been talking and challenging one another, just like the video that you saw for the backpack program. One of my favorite ministries that we partner with to provide for children in our community. And later on, you're going to get to see Heart of the Cumberland and hear about that ministry as well, and just fun ways to give this season. And that's what we've been challenging everybody to do, is to be generous to those around you and to enjoy the gifts that God has given you by sharing them with others. Now, if you got your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. It's in everybody's program. There's a listening guide. You just pull that out, and we'll walk through that today. And I'm going to launch out for a Christmas sermon from James chapter 4. Now, I know that's kind of an odd passage. If you know James, it's kind of an odd passage to preach on Christmas Sunday. But you'll see why, because I think James was writing to a group of individuals who are battling some of the same struggles we battle at Christmas. See, James was the brother of Jesus, and he's writing to the Christians scattered abroad and encouraging them to set aside selfishness and jealousy and greed, and instead choose generosity and love and grace towards one another. And I feel like at Christmas time, that could be part of the challenge. Has anybody had a buggy accident at any of the stores this year? You know, where you're like, you're fighting for that next spot in line? Yep. And I'm sure that it was their fault. Of course, right, brother? And as you get going and you start going through your list and you're trying to keep Jesus at the center, what do you do to make that happen? Well, let me just share with you a nugget that my family and I do that have helped us so much. We actually went around about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I said, guys, we want to find out what Christmas traditions we're going to do every year to keep Jesus at the center. And so my family, we all went around and we all picked one that we wanted to do. And so one of those, for example, is we go to First Christian Church. Last weekend, sorry if you missed it, but we drive around and they have the live nativity scene there. It's a great tradition that we enjoy. Another tradition is we read the Christmas story out loud on Christmas Sunday. And so that's a way that we can all be a part. We watch the nativity movie every Christmas season so that we remember it's all about Jesus. And we give away as a family, we give away whatever we spend on Christmas presents for each other. We give that away financially to some ministry or missions. This year, I think we are doing the missions giving. And those are just some things that we say, how can we keep Jesus at the center? And, of course, my wife puts out the little nativity scene, and the kids all do a part of that as well. Now, having said that, can there still be some battles with selfishness, greed, frustration, envy, jealousy? Of course, because we are people of the flesh, right? We still battle that stuff. And that's what James is writing to them about as we look at this and how we can look at this message of Christmas. Now, I would say to you that I believe the Christmas story is all about grace and generosity from the very beginning. From the point where God is generous to Mary to give her the baby that would come and be the Savior of the world, to then he was generous to Elizabeth, who had been barren all of her life and couldn't have a child, and gave her John the Baptist, who would lead the way for his family and lead the way for Christ in his coming. All the way until you move on to the shepherds, who were despised by the common people because of their smell and because of their profession. And yet they brought the message to them first. And then the wise men who were not even Jews. The scandal of that, folks, we can't even compute. The scandal was these men were not even Jews, and yet they were the ones that God revealed this mystery to them. It was amazing. And so you see all this generosity, and of course the greatest generosity, is God's gift to you and I. His gift of Jesus Christ, who would pay the price for your sins and mine when we couldn't pay it on our own. And that's the message that we're going to get to hear today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. If not, the Burgundy Bible's in front of your seats there, page 1021 of the Burgundy Bibles. Now, as you're turning there, let me just acknowledge that I understand that for many people in this room, Christmas is not the happiest time of the year. That for many people in this room, you have lost a loved one this year, a family member. You've gone through a difficult trial, perhaps a divorce, perhaps a broken relationship with your children or parents. And as I share this message, I hope that what you're hearing isn't that, hey, que sera, sera, whatever will be, let's all just be happy and pretend it didn't happen. But instead that we can lean into God this Christmas season. And we can lean into Him for hope and love and grace. And that we can choose to be the instrument of love in our families, in our friends. We can choose to show grace even when other people around us do not. We can be that difference. So James chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 to get us started. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning as we launch into this passage. Lord, I just come before you right now. And Lord, we see Christmas come around every year. And every year, Lord, we participate to some degree. And yet, Lord, I want to pray for those this Christmas that are hurting. Those that are not looking forward to this season. Those that are here today and they've lost a loved one. They have a broken relationship. There's hurt that's there. God, I pray that you would just give them a special dose of your love this morning. I pray that you would pour it out, Lord, in such a way they would walk out here going, you know what? God is good and He cares. Lord, I pray for those of us that wrestle with the stuffism and the materialism of Christmas. Lord, I pray that we would not focus on that this year. But instead, Lord, we'd focus first of all on your generosity and grace. And then that we would flip that and be generous and gracious to others. I pray that you would speak through me. That I would be an encouragement to all that are here. And that you'd open everyone's hearts, all of us, to your message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got your listening guide, pull that out. Everybody's program. We got a little listening guide that we kind of walk through with you just to help you remember and follow up. And on that listening guide, the first point on your listening guide is that God would have us embrace the true meaning of Christmas, which is grace. Grace and generosity. Grace and generosity. Is that up there? I did number 3. It should be number 1, like I was saying. My wife would say I need to get glasses. I keep arguing and saying, no, I can make the font bigger. There's a point where you can't tell a 3 between a 1. You probably need to get glasses. Or go to size 16 font, which we can do that too. Anyway, first point, greed. Greed and jealousy are cancers that can destroy the meaning of Christmas. For my Christmas present, buy me glasses, because I'm not going to buy them myself. I'm going to keep fighting that until I die. But anyway, greed and jealousy are cancers that can destroy the meaning of Christmas. As we look at this passage in verse 1, he says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Does anybody wrestle with that themselves? The selfishness, the greed, the I want it, I want it, I want it mentality. And maybe for those of us that are adults, I don't know that it's so much Christmas as it is all year long. You know, when our buddy gets the new iPhone or the new computer or the new convertible or the new ... fill in the blank. And it's like, oh, that would be awesome. But it all just goes away over time anyway, really, doesn't it? Okay, I'll tell you a story. I battled with this at Christmas, and the first time I remember battling with this was I was about 13 years old, and the Atari 2600 came out. Anybody remember that cutting-edge video game? Oh, yeah, you just identified yourself as over 40. Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Atari 2600, man. It was so cutting edge because you could play Pong. Oh, yeah. This was Pong. Yes, you had these circular paddles and you go, bung, bung, bung. Ah, that was the excitement of Pong. And then it moved up in the world, right? And you had the little block gunslinger that was kind of the same thing. Pow. Poo. Pow. Poo. That was about the speed of it. Really put that Call of Duty game to shame, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, that stuff is so last year's news. I mean, and we had the 2600, but my friend Mark LaRue got it first. Mark got it a full Christmas before I did. And I was so jealous. I'd go over to Mark's house and we'd play these cool games and I'd go home and kick the dirt and all I got was a bicycle or whatever it was. And I was jealous. I didn't have the right heart towards Mom and Dad. They had always blessed me, but I didn't get what I want. And I let them know how disappointed I was. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Well, of course, the 2600 went out of date because the next year I got it for Christmas. Because they were sick of hearing about it. And what did Mark get for Christmas? The Commodore 64. Woo! You talk about some power for computing, let me tell you. I think we figured it out back there. The guys were figuring it had 1 megahertz. Which basically means your iPhone has 1,000 times more computing power than the Commodore 64. But everybody had to have one because that was the thing to have then. You had to have a Commodore 64. I remember I had to have it because Mark LaRue got it the Christmas before. So I had to have it. And guess what? I barely even took it out of the box. Because it wasn't that I wanted a computer. I wasn't wired that way. I wanted what Mark had. I was jealous. And let me tell you, folks, if you are jealous in this Christmas season, you will find this whole season ruined for you. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants the Grinch to steal Christmas. He wants you to think it's about the presents and it's about the stuff that you get and the stuff that you buy. And the Lord wants you instead to take a step back, take a deep breath, and realize His generosity and His grace at this Christmas season. This good news that He has because of Jesus. This hope that we have. Now, at this point, many of you may want me to start naming things that we should throw out about Christmas. Things that might distract us. Because in verse 2, He says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. Ooh, that church was really in bad shape. I don't know of anybody here killing to get what they want. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God. You see, it's not that God doesn't want you to have good things. It's that He wants you to trust Him as when He's going to give them to you. You know, I had a mindset at one time, this poverty mindset, that God would only be happy if I was living in a grass hut, eating rice and water, and giving everything else I had away. And then as I became a dad, I realized that's not what I wanted for my kids. I wanted my kids to have the bicycle they could ride. I wanted my kids to have the football they could throw. But there were things that I knew they weren't ready yet, maturity-wise. And so sometimes I held off on them until they were ready. And sometimes my parents were much wiser. And they held off longer because I was a little bit crazier. And I'm glad now as a dad, I realize what they were doing, right? Your Heavenly Father, He loves you. And He wants to shower His generosity on you. But if He tells you no, or if He tells you wait, just understand it is for the best. And that in and of itself is a gift from God as well. Well, verse 4, He says, friendship with the world. Look what He says in 4. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy to God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you will make yourself an enemy to God. So at this point, I hear the voice of those that say, throw everything out about Christmas except the story of Jesus. You know, the Christmas trees, you know, that those aren't from the birth of Christ. So let's throw them out. And let's also throw out the Christmas wreaths. Let's throw out the Christmas songs because that came almost 1,000 years after Christ. Let's throw out Bing Crosby, you know, his White Christmas or Holiday Inn. Let's throw out anything except Jesus just to focus on Jesus. And for some of you, that might be what you need to do. But I would submit to you, I think there's a better plan. And that plan is that we focus on Christ, but that we enjoy all the things that the Lord gives us. We, as a family, enjoy the tree. We put our family ornaments on it. It's a neat little family tradition. We actually, everywhere we travel as a family, we get an ornament. So whether that be Orlando or mission trip or whatever. And so every year we pull them out and we get to remember all those memories as a family. We have photographs from my wife taking my kids to community Bible study. They always take a little picture of the kids. And I've got photographs from all our kids from like first grade all the way up to eighth grade. And it is hilarious because we pull them out every year and they all make fun of each other. Ha! Look at you in first grade. Look at your hair. I can't believe you wore that shirt. And we all have good humor, good laughs with each other. We have a good time. There are great traditions that don't have to take away from the gospel. But I would challenge you, if there's anything that's getting in the way of the message of Christ this Christmas, for you to take and get rid of it. Well, second thing is to find joy in Christmas, reject greed and jealousy. Just reject it altogether. Look what he says here in 5. He says, "Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate and that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously, and the scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You need to just resist it completely. You need to resist greed and jealousy and selfishness. I know it wars within you. It wars within all of us. We battle this. And there's a part of us that feels more secure when we have more stuff. You know what I mean? There's a part of us that when we get more stuff, we feel more secure because we have more stuff to have around the house. And yet, so much of that stuff just wastes away, doesn't it? It all becomes out of date just a short time later. There's only so much chocolate you can eat. Some of you argue with me there, I know. But really, there is a limit you should eat, right? And I would say to you that to find this joy of Christmas, reject the whole idea that it's about the stuff. And instead, adopt the idea it's about generosity and grace. That is something that he wants to pour into each one of us. That he wants us to experience. Well, third thing is embrace the true meaning of Christmas. Grace and generosity. Look at 6 again. "And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." So what's it saying? In verse 6, he's saying, God gives grace generously. Now, you've got to take this whole passage in context. He had just spoken to them about their battle with their own selfishness and greed, even to the point that they're trying to conspire to kill each other to get what they want. Now, that's pretty high level messed up. And yet he turns right around after those verses and says, "But if you will seek the Lord, if you will come near to him, he will come near to you." He has this grace that he's offering to all of us, every one of us. But we have to choose to draw near to him. God doesn't force any of us to experience his grace. It is offered to all of us generously and willingly. And then I love this where he says here, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So many times I hear people say, "Well, you know, I was just tempted and I couldn't resist. I fell into temptation." You don't fall into temptation. You walk into temptation. You make a choice whether you make that decision or not. And for all of us, we all battle that. But you need to know if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. It is a promise that we have. Sometimes when I get tempted bad, I just have to say it out loud. "Get thee behind me, Satan. I'll just say it out loud. If people around, I don't care. If I'm being tempted, I don't want to lose that battle. And I'll just say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, get behind me. Because sometimes I just need a little extra spiritual help. You know what I'm saying? And in this Christmas season, if you're getting frustrated while you're shopping, if you're getting exhausted by all the activities and everything, you might just need to take a step back. Take a morning and just spend time in the Word and in prayer and just going, okay, Satan, get behind me. I'm going to make this time about the Lord's things. Generosity, grace, love, forgiveness. Embrace this true meaning. Now, he does say that you got to humble yourself. I think this is a big battle we have, which is why a lot of people don't come to faith in Christ. It's because it's a matter of humbling yourself, admitting that you can't do it on your own, that you need the help of God. You need His forgiveness. And for many of us, we're too good for that. We're too proud. We're like, I got this. God, if you'll just save my soul and let me go to heaven, I could run the rest of my life just fine. But that's not His intention. God's intention is that we have a relationship with Him, that we trust Him, that we pray to Him, and that we ask Him for wisdom and discernment. And this hope that we have at Christmas season is that when we blew it, God knew it. And He sent Jesus to take our place. Look at me, John. Look at John 3:16 and 17. Most famous passage in the Bible. Hard to preach the message of this without going to John 3:16. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact." If you got your Bible, underline this. The judgment is based on this fact. It's not about whether you're good. It's not about whether you give a lot of money away at Christmas to generosity. It's not whether you go to church. It's based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Do you love the light of God more than the darkness of the world? Do you trust God's plan more than your own plan? Are you willing to trust Him with your future as well as your present? Well, God wants you to. And He wants you to understand this generosity idea. He gave us this love so that we pass it on. He gave us this grace so that we pass it on. And for some of you, this Christmas, the greatest thing, the most generous thing you can do is to pass on His forgiveness. Some of you have been hurt deeply this year. Some of you have people that, man, they mistreated you at work and you lost your job. They mistreated you in your marriage and you've lost your marriage. They mistreated you in your family and you have no contact with your parents or your siblings or your children. Some of you are here because you have broken relationships and you're hurting and you're waiting for your sibling to be the one to heal it. You're waiting for your parents to be the one to call you and say they're sorry, and they may never call. And you've got a choice. And I want to challenge you this Christmas season to choose forgiveness, to choose grace. To let this be a season where the example of Christ giving His life for us to mend the relationship between us and God will set the example for us to be generous to others with grace to mend those relationships. Now, I had an idea for an example so that we can all kind of figure out what that looks like. But my example is a little bit messed up. I'm going to pick on John over here. John, if you would go to the sixth row right here behind Sonia. And see if there's an envelope in that seat on the edge behind her. Right behind, yeah, right there, the empty one. Reach under there, see if there's the seat. Is there like an envelope poking out there? All right, here's what you got to do with that. I got an assignment. Okay, that's yours. What's in it? Money, that's right. Thousands of pennies. I think it's a total of $40, is that right? Okay, because I took it out of my kids' money before I left, because I didn't have any cash. I mean, who carries cash anymore, you know what I'm saying? I had this great idea, and I'm going, I don't have any cash. I knew my kids had cash. They carry cash. Anyway, but here's what that envelope's about. We have some friends of ours that every year they give our kids $40. $20 is for them, and $20 is to give away at somebody or a ministry or somebody in need. And it's been such a great lesson for our people. So, John, here's what you got to do with that $20. $20 is for you and your wife. Okay, right? You're married? Yeah, buddy. Half's hers, okay? It's that marriage thing, okay? Or three quarters if it's, anyway. And the other $20 you get to give away to any ministry or person in need or somebody that just God pricks your heart about, okay? All right. Now, I want to challenge all of us to have the same mindset. To just have the mindset that this year it's about generosity. Who is it that you can bless? How is it that you can use what God has given you to bless others? I purposely didn't want John to give all $40 away. Because one of the cool things that's taught my kids when my friends have done this for us is that God blesses them too. That they don't get the money and they have to give it all away, but they're blessed by God themselves. They're called to be a blessing to others on top of that. And it's been a great lesson in generosity for my family. And so my challenge to you this year is, will you choose to live out that example to the glory of God? Will you choose to be the hands and feet of Jesus in your community with your friends to the glory of God? Will you choose to be the instruments of God's grace and generosity this year? And not just for Christmas season, but the next 12 months. It's what God desires of us. He desires us to be generous people so that people look upon our lives and they realize there's something different. So my first challenge is that. The second challenge is have you experienced His generosity by giving you grace in salvation? Do you realize that if we reject Jesus Christ, then we do not receive this gift of grace and salvation? We have a choice. Now, it was interesting that I tried to pick a seat right on the edge. It's like one of two seats on the edge over there that nobody's sitting in. But what if I told you there was a $20 bill in an envelope under everybody's seat? Would you get excited? You want to look? Sorry, there's not. But in theory, I could have done that if I'd had a quarter or something. I didn't have the money for everybody. But my kids didn't get that much. Anyway, but what if I'd have put an envelope under everybody's? It's only yours if you take it and spend it and enjoy it, right? If you leave it under the seat and you walk out the door, you don't get any benefits and you don't get any joy of sharing it. It's the same way with the message of Jesus. It's literally right there for all of us that will call upon the name of the Lord. It's right there for all of us that will give our hearts and lives over to Him. But it's up to each one of us whether we'll embrace that. God offers it to us. Says, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. I believe God's calling everyone in this room. I believe that's why you're here. Because He wants all men to know Him. He's calling you. What will be your choice? I invite you to bow your head with me. If you're here today and you're feeling a tug on your heart and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to make a decision today. Don't put it off any longer. What better day to surrender to the calling of God on your life than Christmas Sunday? You're not here by accident. God has a plan. And His plan is to draw you unto salvation. And I invite you today, will you pray and humble yourself, as it says, and give your life over to God? If God is speaking to your heart right now, I want to give you a chance to begin a relationship with Him, to humble yourself and to pray unto Him and give your life over to Him. If God is speaking to your heart, then pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me. Dear Lord, please forgive me for the decisions of my past. I need You, God. I need You to forgive my sins. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and King. And I want to be adopted by you into your family. Lord, please help me to spread your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.